Welcome to this week's podcast. I'm Mickey Badlamenti, discipleship pastor here at Rock Point Community Church. Our goal in the messages we share is to consistently present God's truth in ways that will challenge you, bring you new perspective, and ultimately lead you into closer relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Wherever you're listening from, we hope this message encourages you in your faith. We also welcome you to visit us anytime you're in the Detroit area. Our Sunday services are at 9 and 11 a.m. and include a full range of children's programs, as well as a ministry specifically for children with special needs. Find us on Facebook or visit our website at rockpoint.org for more information.
One of the things that's been a great treat over the years is that we've had, as a congregation, some really great friends and speakers that have been a part of our fellowship. And especially in this past year with Steve Garrett and his music, to Abdu Murray and Alicia Woods, Stuart McAllister, all those, we wrap up this season of ministry with one of our really dear friends, who is all the dearer because of the locality of it. Bishop Daryl Harris has been a friend of ours for the last decade here or so as we've gotten involved in the Osborne community through Life Remodeled. Bishop Harris has been deeply involved in the mayor's office in Detroit. He has had a broad and deep influence within the entire city, entire area. He is the founder of the Faith-Based Coalition of Detroit, which we are part of as well. And he is also the pastor of the Total Life Christian Center. He is someone who is just has a depth of the scripture, a passion for the word, and I think the presence of the Holy Spirit like few people I have seen. So this morning, would you please very warmly welcome the Reverend Bishop Daryl Harris.
Well, once again, good morning, Rock Point. I'm always delighted to be here, always glad to be here. Can we also give God praise for your prestigious leader and Pastor Randy Tomko? I think that's awesome. Today is, as I mentioned, it's just a great day to be here. I was here at 9 o'clock, and always I'm impressed that you guys just keep inviting me back. I'm like, wow, they're gluttons for punishment. I just, either that or they really like me. My family is not able to be with me today. My wife and children, they are in Fayette, Alabama. It's not to be confused with Fayetteville. Fayette is probably about the size of your campus here, all right? They just got some street lights a few years ago, got a Walmart that's new, and now they think they're the stuff, you know? But my wife and family are there, and so they couldn't be here this morning, but most certainly they send their love. Our church is in their service back on the east side of Detroit, and we are here with you now. I'm grateful. My goddaughter, Mia, I always stand next to her. I'm so grateful. She knows all the Christian songs, like all of them, doesn't matter. And so she's singing along with you guys. I'm like, I don't know that one. So I'm listening to her. I'm kind of getting the words, right? So thanks, Mia. You're great. But I'm most, again, excited to be here today and excited to be with you all. And I have a word today that I'm going to bring you, and I'm just going to go ahead and say it, you know, it's for the matured ears, all right? It's for the matured ears. Now, don't get nervous on me. This is Rock Point, so you guys are used to this kind of stuff happening to you where the real word God comes through, and you're accustomed to that. But today, I really want to move into this word, and I kind of want to move through it because of what I'm hoping and what I have envisioned will take place at the end of this word to give time enough for that to happen. So we're going to jump into the Word of God today, and we're going to go to the Old Testament, the book of Numbers, chapter 22. In the NIV, if you have that, whatever translation or transliteration you have is wonderful. I'm going to be reading just one verse from the NIV, the Old Testament scripture, Numbers chapter 22. And it reads, "Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, And he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his sword drawn. So he bowed low and fell face down. Right? He was on the back of the beast when his eyes were opened and he saw God, or saw the agents of God. He got down off the animal, off the beast, and he bowed himself in worship before the agents of God, before the presence of God. Now, the subject matter that I'm going to give you is not to be tread lightly. It's going to bring something to your face. Look, you're all nervous right now. I'm going to have you to turn to your neighbor and just say these words. It's time to get off your animal. See, there they go again. tough crowd, Lord. Not knowing about this. Coincidentally, you know, as I've been preaching here over the years, I note that there's oftentimes a slight difference between the 9 a.m. crowd and the 11 a.m. crowd. And today I see that there's no difference at all in response. Lord, we thank you so much for your word today. And we just pray that you will be illuminated, that you, oh God, will be reverenced, and that you will be glorified. That's all we want. In Jesus' name, amen. We have come to note that in the creation, things have been categorized in what we refer to as kingdoms, right? And the ideology behind these creations of kingdoms, or fitting different creations into particular kingdoms, is not necessarily to denote the creation itself, but to promote the ideology that everything that is fit into a kingdom must have a king. It is not referred to as a kingdom unless it has a king, a subverted ruler over that particular categorization of whatever it is in creation. And we know that in life, there are at least 5 or 6, for those of you that have taken a couple of science classes, you know that living organisms are broken into at least 5 or 6 different categories that we refer to as kingdoms. I, for one, probably got like a D in science, so I'm not going to name them all. However, I do know that you have a kingdom of fungi, you have a kingdom of Monera, you have a kingdom, a plant kingdom. You know that there's a kingdom where all the plants are categorized by their commency and they're placed into this particular kingdom that we call the plant kingdom. You have what we refer to as the animal kingdom where all the common animal that are based in their different categories or different spaces, they're all lumped together and placed in a kingdom that is just for animals. And we note that all of the animals or all of the plants or all of the fungi, all of whatever it is has been created that's called life, it fits into a kingdom, not just necessarily based on its commency, but the ideology behind placing all of the creation into a kingdom is so that we reference that all creation has a king. So we're together still, right? All creation has a king. Now, in the animal kingdom, which is the one that we're going to focus on today, in the animal kingdom, it has been created that, according to the book of Genesis, we have been given dominion over all those kingdoms on the earth. We've been given dominion. Now, remember, we've been given dominion. We didn't earn it. We didn't create it. We've been given dominion, which doesn't necessarily translate the same as we are the king. Only the king can give dominion. So we've been given dominion over all the creatures, over all the animals, over all the kingdoms that are in the earth, which means that we have a particular right, a particular grace that we have been granted so that we can manage and be good stewards and utilize the different things in the different kingdoms in order to benefit ourselves to the glory of God. That is our position. And in the animal kingdom, one of the things that we have utilized it for, that it's been most effective for, is transportation. Now, I know some of you are thinking about chicken right now, so you thought about food, but we're not talking about that one yet. We're just going to talk about the animal kingdom and transportation. We utilize animals in order to transport ourselves based upon the amount of time that we have to reach a distance and the amount of space that we have to cover in order to reach a particular place. We use transportation and animals in that transportation process to take us from the place where we are to the place where we desire to be. That is what we utilize the animal kingdom for. It's one of those jobs that we have chosen that the animal kingdom is best suited to assist us in, because it would look really strange to try to ride a rose bush to Chicago. It would be painful as well, right? So we utilize the animal kingdom to transport us from the place where we are to the place that we want to be. And we've chosen them. Now, in the animal kingdom, we've chosen basically primarily four different animals that seem to have served best over time, over history, that we've utilized for this transportation. One of them, the most noble, I would say, would be the horse. For centuries, people have ridden a horse to get from one place that they were to another place, right? And the horse is probably the most noble. It is probably the grandest of that. And we've seen different types of movies and different things that have happened. I remember, and Miss Lori, she corrected me on this because I was trying to remember the name. We always called it horses. Island, right? And so I realize now that it's Mackinac Island, some of you, because this morning I said Horses Island and people were like, what are you talking about, man? That's what we always called it in my neighborhood. It was like, we're going to Horses Island, right? This Mackinac Island. But I do note that as my wife and I went there several years ago and went there in celebration of our anniversary, and we got there to Horses Island, and there was only one vehicle on Horses Island. Everything else that was used for transport was done by horse. And the only vehicle that was there was the medical vehicle, right? I guess that was for the people who would need it because they couldn't deal with the horses. Well, we get all the way on the back of the horse. We get all the way into the center of the island. And my wife just experiences a breakout. Just her lips start swelling. Her eyes start bulging. I'm like, oh, my God, what is happening to you? And suddenly she realizes, oh, I think I'm allergic to horses. I'm like, What? In the middle of the island, like where there's nothing but, and so the one vehicle they had, of course, had to drive through all the horses to come and help us out because my wife was allergic to the horses. So we utilized those horses for transportation. Another animal in the animal kingdom that we utilize for transportation is the camel, right? Some of you, if you've seen over in more of the deserted places or the deserts in the world, you'll see that people will utilize the back of the camel in order to be transported from one place to another. Now, the camel is interesting, right? Because it doesn't look like a comfortable ride, doesn't look like the most suitable ride, but because they can travel long distances without the need of water and they can go through that kind of exhaustion, they're suitable for that kind of travel. But they can be kind of nasty and temperamental, so you have to be careful, right? If a camel gets a hold of you, won't be a good thing, right? So they utilize horse, we got a camel. Then we have, in places in Africa, an elephant, right? Elephants are also used to be able to transport people from the place where they are to the place that they desire to be. There is nothing more intimidating than for you to show up on the back of a horse, another person to show up on the back of a camel, and then someone comes out on the back of an elephant. I promise you, you will never forget that ride. Here it is to all my parents. You've been concerned about giving your kids the keys to the Porsche. But imagine if they rode up on the back of an elephant. I'm sure you probably would gladly give them the keys to the Porsche, because the elephant is probably the strongest of those transportation modes that we looked at in the animal kingdom. And then, of course, we look at the mule or the donkey. I will not call them by the name that the King James Version called them by, because we have children in the room and I don't want to get in trouble. This is my friend and my brother. He's always going to be that, right? But those of you that have the King James Version, you know what the other is. That's why I read the NIV. But we know that on the back of the mule, on the back of the donkey, we know that it is probably the most domesticated animal out of all of the others that we just named. But it is a stubborn animal, right? It gets into its temperaments, gets into its ways. And when it doesn't want to do something, no matter what you do to it, it just won't do it, right? But these are all modes of this transportation that we depend upon to take us from one place, the place where we are, to the place that we desire to be. The animal kingdom that supports us in this transportation. The horse, the camel, the elephant, and the donkey. Now, although they're different animals, they still belong to only one kingdom. And that one kingdom has a king. It doesn't matter which one of those animals you choose to transport yourself from where you are to another place that you want to be. Doesn't matter whether you choose the nobility of the horse, or whether you choose the endurance of the camel, or whether you choose the idea of the elephant, or whether you choose the domesticated donkey. It does not matter. They all belong to the same animal kingdom. And it's not based on their commonality that they belong to the animal kingdom. It's based on the fact that there is a king of all the animals. The horse, the camel, the elephant, the donkey. Balaam one day rises early in the morning because he has taken on a particular job. This job that he has taken on, that he's already received payment for, is to go into a particular space and to bring and speak and minister and prophesy curses over the children of God. He wakes up in the morning, goes outside, his servants saddle the back of his animal. He gets up on the back of his animal and he proceeds to utilize the animal to get from the place where he was to the place that he wanted to be. But how many of you know that sometimes the thing that we're looking to ride to get from where we are to where we want to be, that vehicle, it doesn't always cooperate with us. It doesn't always get us to the place where we want to be in the time in which we want to get there. Sometimes you can be riding in a vehicle that you are expecting to take you from the place where you are to the place where you desire to be, and it goes an entirely different way than you wanted to go. Sometimes it gets so stubborn, it just sits down in the middle of the road. How many of you have ever had a vehicle, a car, where you got up in the morning and you got in your car to go to your destination and then the thing won't act right? And you get out and you kick the wheel. And you hurt yourself more than you hurt the car, but you do it anyway, right? Or how many of you, maybe you had a job and that job was supposed to get you enough money so that you could stop renting a house and finally get to the place where you wanted to be, where you owned a house. But in the midst of that transportation vehicle, you got a pink slip or you got laid off. What about those of us who have family? We got married and we met the person that was right, which was much better than the person that was right now. We got married and when we got married, we started a family, and the family was supposed to take us from a place of loneliness and brokenness to a place of fulfillment and joy and happiness, because suddenly we belonged to something that was working with us and working for us, only to find out that the vehicle is not getting you to that place from where you were to where you want to be because the divorce came or because something happened with the children. And suddenly you find yourself and your dependence on the thing that you have been riding in, the vehicle that you have been utilizing for transportation, you find yourself disappointed, depressed, frustrated, angry, because what you expected to get you from the place where you are to the place where you always wanted to be is not going the way you want it to go. Balaam, he faces the same type of oppression. He faces the same type of situation. He's on the back of his animal that's supposed to transport him from where he is to where he wants to be, to where he's trying to go, and it is not cooperating. The animal keeps stopping in the middle of the road, keeps bucking backwards, keeps taking other routes, keeps turning other ways, keeps sitting down, keeps bowing down, and he keeps doing it over and over again. As a matter of fact, does it three times. And each time, Balaam, how does he respond? He responds out of that frustration. He responds out of that disappointment. He responds out of that anger. And he starts beating the animal. And he starts swearing at the animal. And he starts going off on the animal. And it's just like some of us. That's what we do when we get frustrated. It doesn't matter whether you're on the back of the horse or you're on the back of the elephant or you're on the back of the camel or you're on the back of the donkey. When things that we want to take us from where we are to where we always wanted to be, when it's not cooperating with us, we get frustrated and angry and disappointed and depressed, and we start beating it and talking harshly to it, just like Balaam did. How many times in your household, when it wasn't working out the way you wanted it to work, you begin to say things that really weren't in your heart, but out of your frustration, you begin to say things and do things that are going to be more harmful than helpful. How many times on that job, because you were looked over for the promotion and it doesn't look like you're going to make the money that you wanted to make, did you go to blaming something, the thing that you expected to ride to get from where you were to where you always wanted to be, and it's not working out, and all of a sudden now you're into it with the boss, you're into it with the manager. Nobody's getting along with you because you have chosen out of your frustration and your anger to respond to the vehicle not taking you from where you were to where you want to be in a harsh way. Balaam starts beating and swearing at the animal. The animal that he chose, the animal that's there serving him. And he does this so many times until the last time the animal was actually blessed by God to open his mouth and begin the conversation. And so now Balaam has switched from beating and swearing at the animal to actually arguing with the animal. Have you ever had an argument with an animal? You ever had an argument with something that's not supposed to understand you, but that probably sees things more clearly than you do? Because through your rage and through your anger and through your frustration and through your disappointment, it's difficult to see what's going on behind the scene. You're so busy trying to work out what's right in front of you. You're so busy trying to solve the problem that you think the problem is the vehicle that you've chosen to ride, to get from the place where you are to the place where you want to be, just like Balaam did. He thought the problem was the animal. He thought the problem was the animal that he chose. Just like us, we think the problem is the job. We think the problem is the family. We think the problem is the spouse. We think the problem is the bank. We think the problem is the president. We think the problem is all over everything, everything else, everything else, everything else, and never come to realize what the problem really is until the animal, the thing that's not working for you, has to have a conversation with you and let you know why it's not working the way you want it to work. Why it's not able to take you from where you were to where you want to be. The animal itself has to open its mouth and have an argument with Balaam He asked him, why are you doing this to me? I'm here to serve you. And Balaam says, because I'm frustrated with you. I'm angry with you. Why? Because you are not taking me where I want to go. You're not getting me there fast enough. You keep reverting to other directions and reverting in other ways. Why won't you just take me where I want to go? Is it possible that Balaam's frustration is being exacted upon the animal that's there to serve him because his expectation of the animal is too high? He thinks the animal is his own king. He thinks the animal gets to just move however it wants to move. He thinks the animal just gets to go where it wants to go. He thinks the animal is just being stubborn and resistant to him because the animal has his own will and he has another will. So he thinks that if he can break the animal, then he can suddenly get to where he wants to go. Except he forgot that the animal belongs to the animal kingdom. And the animal kingdom has a king. And neither Balaam or the animal is the king of his kingdom. It doesn't get to tell itself where it wants to go. It doesn't get to follow its own path. It doesn't get. So when things aren't necessarily going the way, we have to realize who is the king that may be driving this, that may be setting the path, that may be causing things to happen for its own reason, for its own will. What is happening there? Well, the animal realizes that my king is actually guiding my steps. It's not me. And then where we pick up Balaam in the scripture, we pick him up with his eyes suddenly open on the back of his animal. Doesn't real matter if it was the horse, if it was the elephant, if it was the camel, if it was the donkey, it doesn't matter. His eyes open while he's on the back of his animal, the thing he's disappointed with, frustrated with, angry with. And when his eyes open, he suddenly sees, oh, the king is standing in front of us. That's why you're not taking me where I want to go, because the king is standing there. That's the reason why you're not doing for me what I want you to do for me. That's the reason why I'm frustrated. I'm frustrated because I thought it was you just not doing what I wanted you to do. But now my eyes are open and I see that even the things that I don't like that's happening in my life, and even the slowdowns that I'm going through, and even when you go off the path, the things that I've chosen as vehicles to get me from the place I am in life right now to my blessing and my happiness and my joy and my peace of mind, maybe they're flustered and frustrated, not because of the vehicle I've chosen. Doesn't matter whether it's the horse, doesn't matter whether it's the camel, doesn't matter whether it's the elephant, doesn't matter whether it's the donkey, it doesn't matter. But all vehicles will never be able to take you where it wants you to go or where you want to go unless the king of the kingdom sets the path. We are frustrated a lot of times in life because things are not going where we want them to go. And so we become frustrated, angry, and everything. We start grinding more. We start pulling more. We start taking more on. We start arguing more. Our temperament changes. People don't recognize us anymore. Why? Because we're frustrated, we're flustered, we're angry, we're depressed, we're disappointed by how things are going. Instead of doing what Balaam did, when his eyes were open, guess what he did? He dropped the stick that he was using to beat the animal. He stopped swearing at the animal. He stopped arguing with the animal because he realized the animal was not responsible for him reaching his destination. The king was responsible for him reaching his destination. And so he did the only thing that he could do. When his eyes were open and he saw that it was God, he said, oh. And he got off his animal. He got off his pride. He got off his ego. worshiped. He worshiped because he could see then clearly that it was God who had orchestrated the steps of the animal, that it was God who was in charge of the vehicle of his transporting from the life he was in to the better life that he desired. That it was God. It didn't matter about the donkey. It didn't matter about the elephant. It didn't matter about the camel. It didn't matter about the horse. They could only do what the king would allow them to do. Just like your job can only do what the king allows it to do. Just like your family can only do what the king allows it to do. Just like your friend or your worst enemy can only do what God allows them to do. And once you realize that, peace suddenly comes to you that allows you to put aside your own ego and your own destination and what it is that you want out of life and be able to submit to God in worship. And that's what God is calling us to right now, Rock Point. And not just Rock Point, but Total Life Christian Ministries and every other church in this country and every other church in this world. He wants us to take our eyes off the thing that we've been riding on, depending on, to get us from here to where we want to be. And he says, if you would just get off your animal and worship me, if you would just submit to me, if you would just lay everything else aside, none of those things matter. At the end of the day, all I want is for you to follow the lead of Balaam, who followed the lead of the animal. The animal, at every time that it was time to turn and he noticed that God was before him, the animal would crumple down, because that's what donkeys do. And when the animal would crumple down, now Balaam understands, I've got to do the same thing, because now I see that even in my disappointments and my frustrations, God is still in control. That even when I'm in a place that I don't want to be, and I'm in a place that I don't want to go through this, and I don't want to deal with that, God is still in control. And at the moment that I realize that God is still in control, there is but one thing to do. God, I worship. God says it's time for us to get off our animals and to trust in him and to worship him and to lead our families and to lead everything else into worshiping him. And we may not even have enough time for this, but I want you to stand, and I would challenge, there is at least 10 of you in here that you're dealing with frustration, with anger, with disappointment, with depression. You're dealing with things other than peace and joy and happiness because you are trying to stay on the back of your animal. But there are at least 10 of you, if you didn't mind for just a couple of minutes joining at the altar to just bow down before the Lord and just submit whatever you've been riding, just submit it to him. Whatever frustrations you have, just give it to him in worship. Who would join me today to just simply kneel and worship God? God, I'm off the back of my animal. God, I'm coming to you today in this worship. God, I'm coming to kneel myself to you. Nobody knows what I'm really dealing with. No one knows why I'm really acting the way that I've been acting. No one knows that in the darkness behind the closed doors, when I'm not in people's presence, when I'm not here, when I'm not at church, when I'm not performing ministry, no one knows that there is a frustration, a depression, a disappointment that is happening in my life because I've just not given it to you. I've been so concerned with donkeys and elephants and horses and camel that I've not yet just come and said, God, you're the king of all the animals. Nobody can do anything without you. No one can. I'm yours, God. I surrender it to you. It all belongs to you. We all belong to you. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For those of you that aren't able to come to the altar, right where you are, would you just move a couple of inches or a couple of feet either to your right or your left? Don't stay in the same place where you've been sitting, but just move a little bit this way or that way out of that space so that it would signify you, and then join in worship. God, I'm giving it to you. God, I'm giving it to you. I'm giving the marriage to you. I'm giving the family to you. I'm giving society to you. I'm giving the culture to you. I'm giving my feelings to you. You're in control anyway. I don't have to worry. All I have to do is worship. If I worshiped you more, I would worry less. Here's my worship. Here's my worship. Here's my worship. Be the King of kings of all the kingdoms. Here's my worship. I'm turning it over to you. I'm submitting it to you. Worship with me. Open your mouths and worship with me. Just worship him. Lift your hands and worship him. Just worship him. God, it doesn't matter. The vehicle can only do what you tell it to do. My worship is to you.
Some of you who respond to the message today to hear this next thing, summer's over, that season is finished. And we can mourn that and joke about it, but the exciting thing is that a new season has begun. And so for those of you that respond in particular, I just feel compelled to tell you that. There's a new season that has begun. And for the rest of us, we're going to partake of that as well next Sunday with a single service at 11 a.m. Join us for it. Invite someone to be a part of it. This is a great opportunity, guys. In the meantime, there'll be those up front here if you'd like to come forward for prayer. I'd like to thank my good friend Bishop Harris for being here with us today. He glossed over it, but basically, he and his family drove down to the reunion. He flew back to be with us here today. Yeah. It's been a good friendship, good partnership. Father, we thank you for this time. We pray that you go before us in the season ahead, Lord, and that you would prepare our hearts and our minds for all the issues that we will need to be grappling with, but also all the joys that will be a part of that. So go before us, I pray, for next Sunday and all the weeks beyond in this new season of time. I pray your blessing upon Bishop Harris, upon Wytrice and the family, and upon the ministry that they are part of as well, and that entire fellowship. We commit all these things into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all.